The Outpost Radio on Demand. Here's Art Young from the Outpost Magazine.
If you're not hungry after listening to this edition of the Outpost on Demand, you, my friend, were not paying attention. Hi, I'm Art Young. I'm the editor of the Outpost Magazine. And joining us this time is a great friend who has a brand new book. We'll be talking to Stacy Lynn Harris right after this.
If you love hunting, fishing, and the outdoors, check your new guide to life in the great outdoors, theoutpostlife.com. We're your guide to the outdoor life. The Outpost Magazine has great stories on hunting, fishing, grilling, music, and more. The Outpost Radio keeps you in the great outdoors 24/7 with a mix of country, southern rock, and songs you won't hear anywhere else. We'll keep you updated on the latest outdoor news and views. Check it out. The Outpost. Life in the great outdoors.
Welcome back. Stacy Lynn Harris' Harvest Cookbook is a thing of beauty, just like the writer. She's the queen of sustainable living, a hunter, an angler, a TV favorite, a homeschooling mom to a whole passel of kids in the charming community of Pike, Alabama, if my memory serves correct. Welcome back to the Outpost, Stacy Lynn Harris.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And you, such a wonderful host. I absolutely love coming on your show. You've got a wonderful show.
Thank you very much. I see you've been busy.
The book
is beautifully written and designed. It's a fabulous cookbook. It's got stories, got how-tos, got a ton of usable information. What made you decide to put all this together in Stacy Lynn's Harvest?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, when they deal with fresh stuff, a lot of times they don't know what to do with it. And I wanted to just help them not to have to struggle like I did, trying to find the best ways to preserve things, or, you know, the best way to cook your venison or your fish, or how to even, you know, freeze your fish. Or, you know, I wanted it to be all in one book where it's just so easy to raise your own food or harvest your own food, bring it in, or go to the farmer's market, bring it all in, all the great stuff, and do something awesome with it. So that's really pretty much the story there.
Yeah, well, in the introduction, I think you set the tone very well. You offered a quote from your grandmother about food. And I would love for you, if you can, you probably don't have it in front of
I
you,
do,
but maybe
I
you
do
still remember, share that with us and tell us how that's directed your lifestyle.
Okay, let me see if I can find that quote. I mean, I've got the book in front of me. I'm not sure exactly. I know
it's the first sentence of the introduction.
Oh, here it is.
And I thought, what an interesting way to kick off the book.
My grandmother's words, food is more than just something to eat. Relationships stick when they're built around a table of good quality, fresh food, are just as clear in my mind today as when she said them to me. And that is so absolutely true. It really is. I mean, relationships do just stick when you know at dinner you're gonna be seeing your entire family. And the neat thing, you know, there's two things that we do at the dinner table. One, I try to always do one fact that everybody doesn't know at the table. Like so you get 365 new facts a year just sitting around the dinner table. And the second thing we do is our family, I don't know if bigger families do this, I don't know, but we debate a lot. So we are always discussing real things at the table. And I think that that's true for most people throughout history. Around the table is where they really got into the meat of life. And you're eating mm-hmm. the meat, you're enjoying mm-hmm. your harvest, you talk about light things, but, you know, you're sitting there looking at each other, and after a while, you got to talk about something real. So mm-hmm. I think that's what she meant by that, and that's surely what I hope to pass on to my kids.
Yeah. I think we've unfortunately gotten away from that for lots of different reasons, that some of which we can control and some of which we can't. But
absolutely.
Boy, if more people could do that, at least one meal a day,
yes.
Sit around and actually have a conversation and talk about how your day. You got so many kids, though. That must take you a couple of hours to get through dinner if everybody contributes something.
It's really not. I mean, it's big, but you know, I didn't have, you know, seven kids right away. They all came one by one. So as I added to it, you know, it just kind of just, I multiplied everything in the kitchen and didn't have to do it all at once. I learned it over time. So it's really not as big a stress. It is. I mean, my mom's like, you are in that kitchen all day, every day. And I'm like, pretty much, yeah. And that's why I think, you know, writing the cookbook, it just solidified, you know, what I'm doing is important. So, and when people cook, when they are providing nourishment for their families, and especially if they've gone out and, you know, gotten the meat, whether it's to the grocery store or whether it is out like we do in the wild, you know, it's you really are providing something for your family. It is important. All of it is important.
Yeah. Well, so what's the significance of the title Harvest? How did you land on that?
Well, that's pretty much, you know, there were several things. When you think about it, when the harvest is ripe, it's time for you to bring it all in, and it's time for you to be, you know, cooking that food. And it just makes sense that all year long you're harvesting food. So I think my subtitle here, you know, it's cook fresh food every day of the year, and you can do that. I mean, you really can. You can grow food. Well, we can. I don't know. You know, I don't live in the north, so, you know, we're not dealing with that. But even during the winter here, we get a great crop of turnip greens and things like that, and, you know, and of course venison from the woods. And in the summer, you know, you've got the snapper at the beach, and you've got freshwater fishing, and then all of your summer vegetables, tomatoes and squash and all that. So bringing all that in all year long, you know, harvesting all year and bringing it in, and then, you know, cooking it and preserving it, it just made sense to name it Harvest.
Well, you have over 100 recipes in this new book, and how did you organize all of these? What's the kind of overriding organization behind all of these recipes?
Well, I pretty much went by season, I have four different sections. I've got the garden, beyond the garden, from the pasture, and woods and water. And the garden I have in as the season goes on. And, you know, I'll categorize all the tomatoes in one section, and, you know, and then it goes up through the seasons, you know, to where turnip greens are in the winter. But I also have little sections in there that I teach you how to heirloom garden and grow and cook your own vegetables, even if you live in a small space. I've got vertical and container gardens, and then I talk about herbs and foraging and preserving the summer. And so I broke it down even more so, you know, as far as each section goes into those seasons. And then beyond the garden is where I've got the foraging, wild fruits, herbs, and greens, beekeeping and honey. And I talk about getting started with beekeeping, and Live the Sweet Life is kind of the name of that little section. And I have honey recipes and poultry and eggs. I've got chicken, turkey, wild turkey, pheasant, and eggs, and what to do with them, and lots of different recipes and ways of cooking that food. And then I've got From the Pasture, which I added beef, and I added pork and lamb and things that you would get, you know, on a farm in the pasture. And I don't have cows. I would love to have cows, but I don't right now. Maybe eventually I will. But if you live on a farm, people do. And also a lot of people are buying like half of a cow, and, you know, with friends in their neighborhood or their family, they'll buy, you know, a section of a cow so that they can get their a grass-fed cow. Or they'll, you know, they even, some of these people want to be so close to what they are eating that they will go and know what cow they're going to buy, and they'll go and help feed it and take care of it. It's been really interesting to see how people are wanting to connect with the food they eat.
It's an amazing trend. I interrupted you. I'm sorry, but I completely agree with you. I there are people that I know that live in big cities that do that.
I know, and it really is neat because a lot of people don't know. They don't even know, you know, like elementary school kids do have no idea even like where their strawberries come from, or they think strawberries come from a tree and not, you know, a plant. I mean, you just it's amazing when you get to see where your food comes from. It makes all the difference in the world. And growing it on your own is just, you know, to me it's just a miracle every time I see the garden come up. And I'm sure farmers probably say the same thing because they're like looking out there going, "Oh gosh, I hope it works this year." But you know, venison, I have the last section, which is woods and water, and so I go over venison and the lost art of sausage making. I've got tutorials on, you know, how to make your own sausage, or how to stuff and truss a loin, or, you know, I've got a ton, like how to save seeds in the gardening section. I talk about small game and seafood and fish. So I've got just about the gamut of anything you could harvest or anybody is harvesting. I'll show you what to do with that food and how to preserve it, you know, throughout the year and use fresh food every day of the year. And I make it very simple. And even if you don't have your own garden, you could go to the store. The Walmart has every single thing that I use in here, except, of course, your wild meats. You know, they don't, right. They might not have that. But but as far as, you know, any ingredients or spices, you know, you need, they'll have it. So it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward.
I think it's so simple that it's brilliant. That's the good thing about something. Yeah, that's the good thing about something that's really simple. It takes a lot, I think, of intelligence and doing it yourself to make it simple enough. Because it's a very complicated process. I've started cooking again myself, and man, I made so many mistakes. But you learn every time you do it. You learn something about it. But it's definitely complicated. But you make it simple.
Well, and it is simple. If you just get a couple of right procedures and techniques and sauce making and, you know, different things like that, it is so simple. And that's what I get excited about when I'm, you know, doing shows and teaching people, you know, how simple this sauce is. And, I did an experiment 1 week with Facebook where for 4 weeks in a row, every Saturday morning, I would come on and I would do a live, which that was real entertaining, but a lot of interesting
things. I love the phones going off and the dogs barking. I watched them. I loved them. I loved all the chaos that was going on in the house when you were doing that stuff.
At one time we couldn't get the thing straight, you know, the camera.
And so
somebody, it was hilarious, they said, "Oh, you know, please turn it around where I can lay on my right side." They were laying on their left side because the thing was sideways. I got a real hoot. People are nicer on Facebook than they are on YouTube. YouTubers, I mean, it is brutal on YouTube. You make a mistake, you do anything wrong, you are going to know it. But, you know, Facebook is a little bit easier. But I get so excited to teach people, like, say, you know, what you can do with one custard recipe and, you know, how you can change it, make it chocolate, do coconut pie, make it, you know, a savory custard recipe and make it into a souffle. And it's really one basic recipe. And so a lot of my recipes in the book are like that. You know, I'll have a tomato sauce that's just a basic tomato sauce, but it will make a ton of different, you know, things. So but the experiment was great. It was really, really fun, but it's hard to do, you know, every week. But, yeah, and my mom called. That's the one you're probably talking about. And I went, "Now, you should be watching this. What are you doing?" And she's telling me that the camera's crooked. Isn't that something?
Of course.
She's watching my back.
Of course.
And I'm thinking she's not watching my show.
Yeah, your moms will always tell you the truth. That's the thing. They're not impressed by that girl that's on, you know, it's got books out and TV shows.
No, they just
know that your camera's messed up. So fix
that's
it, honey.
That's right. And she's like, "God, girl, get it right." Oh, man, that was funny.
We will be back with Stacy Lynn Harris in just a minute, so hang in there.
If you love hunting, fishing, and the outdoors, check your new guide to life in the great outdoors, theoutpostlife.com. We're your guide to the outdoor life. The Outpost magazine has great stories on hunting, fishing, grilling, music, and more. The Outpost Radio keeps you in the great outdoors 24/7 with a mix of country, southern rock, and songs you won't hear anywhere else. We'll keep you updated on the latest outdoor news and views. Check it out. The Outpost. Life in the great outdoors.
Welcome back. We're talking to Stacy Lynn Harris this time, and some of these mouth-watering dishes sound like they're southern-based, Stacy. Is this collection of southern delicacies, or will people in Portland, Oregon dig them too?
Oh, they're going to love them. They are just going to love these recipes. I've got, you know, my grandmother's crust is, you know, that is in this book. I mean, how to make homemade crust, and you can use it for pot pies. You can use it for blueberry pies. It goes from savory to sweet. I mean, I've got biscuits. I've got fig jelly. And I don't know if you can grow figs in Oregon, but, you know, I've got other jelly recipes in here, too. And a neat thing, just thinking about the jelly recipes I have in here, I've got a sumac jelly, and a lot of people are like, isn't that poisonous? You know, poison sumac. And, you know, you really do use the poison, you know, I mean, you use the leaves of the sumac, and but to make this jelly, and but you just boil them down, and it's not, it is so delicious. And
oh, my goodness.
The thing about, or is it, you know what, I have kudzu jelly, but I have made a sumac jelly. I'm sorry, kudzu is in this book. And kudzu just grows crazy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know if people know it or not, but it's very high in calories. So I think they have a lot of it in China. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, the story, I actually wrote a story on that one time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Kudzu came from Japan.
That's
when
it.
When the Japanese came over for a world fair of some sort, and they brought it in as an agricultural thing to say, this would be great for cows. And, you know, of course, unfortunately, the unintended consequences it takes over the entire Southeast, and it loves the Southeast, and it grows like crazy. But if you find a way to take some kudzu and turn that into a jelly or something, a lot of people would be happy about that.
Oh, it doesn't take very many. There's not very many ingredients. I mean, it's so simple and so easy. And if you were in a famine, it's very high in calories. I mean, not really, but, you know, just as like a vegetable would be.
Right.
You know, so if you want to call that high calories, but, you know, if you need the calories and nourishment, I think it's got vitamin C in it, too. So anyway, that's just a side note. That's just one of the things I have in here. But I have blueberry jam and pickles and sweet potato fries. You know, I've got, like, just okra recipes, cream corn. It's a ton of things that are just super easy to do, but they're, you know, they've got a southern base to it. I even have a black-eyed pea gumbo, which it's southern in itself, you know, gumbo from Louisiana, but I add black-eyed peas to it, which makes it even more southern. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
That's
so
very
cool.
It
is.
I'm getting hungry, just like I knew I would. I have to put you on the spot at least one time, and when we have these conversations, you have an entire book of new recipes. Do you have any that the family says, Mom, make that? Are there a couple, three that really your family goes nuts about, or do they like everything you cook?
They like everything, but really, I'm sitting here looking at my easy venison chili con carne, and this is a neat, everybody absolutely loves this, and if they were going to, I mean, this is one of their very favorites, and it has won several contests, not just that I've been in, but a lady that follows me, or, you know, it signs up for my newsletter on gameandgarden.com, she, her son was getting married, so at the party before, what's that thing called? I'm so sorry, my brain's
Yeah, the pre-wedding party, whatever that one is, the night
before
the wedding.
They had this chili con carne because they had won a contest with it in their state, and then that's what he wanted for this party. And so that's what they ended up having. And I was, like, so honored. I was so excited. But it is a great, great recipe. And you could use beef, you know, if you didn't have it. And one other thing about my book, I have a substitution table in here. So if you don't, by any chance, have wild game in your freezer, you can get regular meat. And I'll tell you, even from pheasant, what to use and what parts. Like, if I call for the hind quarter, I'll tell you exactly what to get in the counterpart of beef at the store. So, you know, it's really for everybody. I make it very user-friendly, but I cook from what we have, you know, on hand here at my house. And so I've got, like, a stuffed meatloaf, and I recently did that with just beef and pork. And so you can interchange, you know, things in here. And it was absolutely delicious. Now, that stuffed meatloaf is out of this world. So we have that a lot of times with, and I've got a garlic mashed potato recipe in here with that. And
But you do.
Yeah, and then squash boats, and you've got it made. So you've got your squash boats, mashed potatoes, and your meatloaf, and what an awesome meal that would be.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
you use a lot of wild game, and I know you hunt, you fish. wild game has played a lot, an important role in many of the things that, that we've talked about over the years. Why is it so difficult to cook venison? I mean, I know your friend Scott Lasek has got entire books on the subject, but break it down for us.
I have
difficulty cooking venison, and it typically doesn't turn out well for me.
Well, this is the thing. It has just got a lot of connective tissue, and it's got a lot. They have deer, and they have a lot of muscle fiber from using all their muscles because they're always out, you know, foraging for food. That's the simple nitty gritty of that. And you know, cows, if they're grass fed, they're still going to have a different flavor, but they have more marbling the way that their body is comprised, and so there's more fat that is throughout the meat. So to cook venison, you just have to use a different technique. But the flavor of venison is incredible compared a lot of times to the non-grass-fed beef. Although, I mean, I'll eat all of it, but that is one reason that I like it so much. It just has this great flavor. But beef, you know, there's just nothing like beef either. I mean, who doesn't love a great, you know, steak? Oh my gosh, or ribs. And it, you know, with deer ribs, I've tried that, and I've never really loved that. So there's just certain cuts that you know venison is just not going to be as good, but there's certain cuts of venison that to me you cannot improve on. In fact, Theodore Roosevelt, when he had chili, he insisted that venison be in his chili. He would not eat it without venison. So it's definitely a delicacy in some ways. It's a great, you know, it's a great meat. But that's the reason. But if you have the right techniques, and I looked at all of this, you know, when I was studying about how to cook venison, and that goes back to wanting to just be a part of my husband's hunting experiences, that I learned all of the ancient recipes, really, of how to cook meat that, you know, had been foraging, you know, just wild meats, even chickens and, you know, old roosters and things like that. It's a totally different ball game than the chicken you get at the grocery store. So there's a learning curve, but it's definitely well worth it.
Absolutely. And there's lots of tips, a lot of how-tos and some cool articles in this book. I think it's just a fabulous book, and I know you're proud of it. What's next for Stacy Lynn Harris?
Wow. I wrote down, I had, yesterday was a big thinking day for me, and I wrote down all of, like, I have a couple of different opportunities, and I'm not really sure. Right now, there's a show that I may become a co-host of on RFD TV. It's called Rural Heritage, and I'm already doing segments on there, and I'm doing segments, you know, with Scott on his show, and I'll continue doing that. And but I'm thinking about going, you know, and interviewing people like farmers markets, chefs, different people like that for the particular segments on this show, and asking them, what do you look for in produce? Like, what do you look for in a farmer that you want to use? What do you, you know, what would you like to see changed in that industry? And, you know, just kind of get into the minds of some of these, some of the small farms around, and, you know, maybe even people that have solar energy and different things like that, just things that are interesting to me. And so I think that's on the list. I want to write more books. I'm real excited about that, and I'm going to continue to blog. And I have a couple of other opportunities that, you know, I'm not real sure I can even talk about right now. So that is pretty much what's on the radar. But I love doing cookbooks, and I love writing books, and I love talking to you on the radio. So I want to keep doing that.
You're good at it. You're definitely good at it.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I have a lot of fun. So, you know,
that's about 90% of it, I think.
Yeah,
I think
that counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you can do that in just about anything in life, if you can have fun doing it, you're going to at least be passable at it.
I wrote down a bunch of questions yesterday to ask myself. Is this something that I need to pursue? And one of the questions on that list, besides, you know, it is my family behind it, and several other more important questions, is it fun? And that's a big one. It is, because you don't want to just do, you know, work for the sake of work. I mean, I know that you have to make a living, but you know, if it's not enjoyable, maybe there needs to be a change. So, you know, so anyway, that's one of my questions I ask myself.
Well, that's some words to live by. Stacy Lynn Harris has been our guest this time on the Outpost On Demand. She has an amazing new book entitled Stacy Lynn's Harvest, and it's available at your local bookstores or at Amazon. Congratulations on a terrific book, Stacy.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it very much.
I'm Art Young, and we'll talk again soon.
The Outpost Radio On Demand, from the on-demand page of theoutpostlife.com.